we? And then dip into the scriptures again. Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us your word. Lord, you have spoken and you do speak into our lives. It's not something in the past. As our brother shared, Lord, you are able to minister to us in the now. And Lord, we need that. Lord, we live in a very confusing world. We just bless you, Lord, and we come to a God who cares for us. So I just ask you to bless your word to our hearts this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, you knocked the light out. You good? We got it. Right. Now, I never thought I'd start with this. But there you are, you never know. There you go. There always has to be a verse for something, doesn't there? Right. Well, it's already coochie-coo, but the question I'm raising is, what do you do about this on your living room carpet? Right. Clean it up, yes, but how do you stop the dog doing it again? Taking for a long walk. What was used to be the old remedy? Put his nose in it. Rub his nose in it. And chuck him out.
I know you've got his nose in the wee, but not in the poop.
Oh, well, there you are. Jean didn't want me to keep this on very long, so I could just say that. What I'm saying this morning is we're looking at Ecclesiastes, and he's going to do that very thing. He's going to rub your nose in it. And what I mean by that is he's really going to overstate the case in order to get the point on, because sadly to say, yeah, us people, we tend to sort of avoid the real issues, and so he's making us face up to it by some rather extreme statements. And what he's going to be doing is saying things that, like Jesus did. Jesus sometimes used exaggeration to make the point. I'll give you one example. When Jesus says, when your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. When your eye causes you to sin, plug it out. Did he really want you to go chopping off hands and eyes? No! It's exaggeration to make a very strong point. There's some things that are dangerous. Avoid them. Ecclesiastes is going to do that. So let's move on from the poo. And, right, here we are. So one other thing I need to lay down as an interesting and important point in is that wisdom. What is wisdom? And what do we, how do we get it and so on? Well, you know what this is? It's a control tower. Right, and there's the operator in the control tower. He can look down and he can look at the screen and he can see all that's going on around him. Well, let's have a look at the next picture, which has the screen. Right, and there's one of the views from the control tower. And that's what the radar's showing you. And here's the, I think it's Luton Airport at the centre there. And you've got all these tracks of these planes coming in from all different angles and whatever. So if you're in the control tower, you can tell what's happening minute by minute. You can see everything that's happening coming from different directions and everything else. And you know, some people seem to think that wisdom is being able to get up into the control tower and get God's view of things and see how it's all going to work out. Uh-huh. Sorry, kids. That's not what wisdom is. Right, let's have a look. Yes? In the Bible, wisdom is not about having a seat in the control tower. Right, that's God's job. It's about right living now on the ground, under the direction of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is about how you do it here, not about seeing how it's all working out. That's really important, because you don't know the future. You don't know all the ins and outs and where things are coming out and coming from. And so all you've got is your limited resources, and God says, I'll give you what you need for here and now, and don't get into a big stew about how it's all going to work out. So we're going to be looking at wisdom from that angle rather than how it all fits together. Right, let's move on now then. Okay, so we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, a few quick clicks through them. I've got a joker there. What was the part of the joker in the medieval times? The jester, yes, or the jester. Yeah. What was the part of the jester in the medieval times was he could say things to the king that nobody else dare say. Right? He could come away with things that no one else was willing to actually say. But the joker can do it. Well, Ecclesiastes is our joker. He'll tell us things, maybe we don't like them. Inconvenient truths. But let's have a look. This is interesting. So chapter 7, it starts. Let me read the first few verses, verses 1 to 6.
A good name is better than a fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Well, he's right, but it's a miserable old thing, isn't it, really? Better to go to a funeral than to a wedding?
No.
Well, yes, he says, because it makes you think about your future. Right? The day of death is better than the day of birth, because you're over with all your troubles here. Well, all good stuff, but I think he's rubbing our noses in it, friends. He's saying, look, you want to think about the serious issues of life, you know? But it's not something we can all live with for very long, is it? Right, okay, so we're going to learn not to poo on the living room carpet. I hope that's the idea, right? Right, so that's number one. Life's a serious business. He wants you to get that point. Life is a serious business, but, you know, there are other things we need to take into account as well. Right, next one then is in verse 7 to 9, where we read this. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. So basically, I've made it as a thought, steady as you go. I like that. Yes. We don't want too much excitement, do we? Keep it steady, chaps. Now, I know some of you are adventurers and you like the high life and the adrenaline, but he says steady as you go is a lot better. Right, well, okay. Right, and then verse 10 is brilliant. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Right, well, why isn't it wise for the good old days, eh? Why is it not to ask such questions?
It's because you can't go back and do it again, can
you? You can't go back and do it again. The past has gone. The other is, if the king hears you complaining about the way he's doing things, it was better in the old days, you could get in trouble. Right. So, it's not very cheerful, but it's true. Avoid such silly things as that. Right, okay, let's move on to the next one. Right, so we're going to see throughout this few couple of chapters the benefits of wisdom, different ways that wisdom has its benefits. And one here we have, what's this?
A life belt.
A life belt, yeah. Right. What's a life belt for? Saving lives. Well, that's what he says here. Verse 11, wisdom is like an inheritance is a good thing, and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Wisdom could save your life. Well, wisdom will save your life if it's the wisdom of God. Right? And it will save you forever, which is the good thing. So there's one benefit of wisdom. It gets you in the right place. Right, let's move on. Let's have a look now. Verse 13 and 14. Consider what God has done. So I'm going to think about God for a moment. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. If you knew last week what was going to happen this week, you probably wouldn't want to do it, would you? But you don't know. God, in his wisdom, hides things from us so that we can cope with them, I guess, sometimes, right?
And learn from it.
Yes. But what he's getting at here is, right, God is in charge. God is the ruler of all things. But he says, and I put it there, there's a lot of mystery about you. Who can figure out what's going on? You're not in the control tower. And God doesn't want you to be in the control tower. You couldn't handle it. Right? But we're confronted by mystery all the time. All the pieces don't fit. And you must have found yourself asking this question many times. Why did that happen, Lord? Why this? Why that? Well, it's okay. You're not allowed to ask. But I'm promising you, you're not going to get many answers. That's all. Right? You're allowed to ask. There's a lot of mystery in it all. And Ecclesiastes is really saying that, you know, that man cannot discover anything about his future. Right. Next one. In this meaningless life of mine I have seen both of these. Right. A righteous man perishing in his righteousness, and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. Do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It's good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes.
Amen.
Right? Don't be over righteous. Well, I thought we were meant to be very righteous. Yeah, what does he mean by that? Yeah, it's that sort of, you know, overdoing it. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before pigs, you know. Mm. Right, there's a place and a time, as he's, Ecclesiastes is saying this all the time. Right, but, I summed it up here, I like that little picture, I thought you'd like that. Mm. Yeah. Right, but conclusion number one is, keep calm and keep your head down. He's saying is, you know, if you start sort of pushing stuff that is not appropriate, you'll get shot at. Yeah? And if you start drifting off into the wrong directions, you'll get yourself hurt. Right? He wants you to be steady. I love these bits in Ecclesiastes. It's my kind of book. Steady as you go. Right. Keep calm and keep your head down. Right. Next one then. Let's move on. Verse 19. Another benefit of wisdom. I like that. Do you like Superman? Right. Wisdom. Wisdom makes a wise man, one wise man, more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Right. Yeah. You can handle things that they can't even cope with. Yeah. Right. So wisdom gives you the strength, not physical strength of course, but there's a good picture. Yeah. Wisdom has the benefit that it will help you to cope with things that even the most capable people can't. Right, now about this. Verse 20. There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. Well, what's he saying there? Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I was interested. I wanted to look about. I wanted a picture for gossip. That's what he's on about. We live in a sinful world, and you're a sinner too. We know that, yes. But make sure you've got the point. But I looked at the word. I went into Google, typed in gossip, wanted a picture, right? Now, what did I discover in Google?
Gossip.
What pictures did I get for gossip?
Eastenders,
soaps. Well, yeah, no, what I'm getting at is this. They were all pictures of women. Now, I don't think it's the sole prerogative of women to be gossips. But it's a cultural bias, isn't it, yeah? And Ecclesiastes is saying, you fellow, you woman, you're all in on it, this one. We're all sinners, okay? So, it's a simple world, and that includes you. Right, next one. All this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turn my mind to understand, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. And so he's searching, searching, searching. And he says he discovered one thing. He says, I couldn't work it all out. But the other thing, he says this, you'll find this quite remarkable. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner she will ensnare. He's got it in for women, hasn't he? Yeah. Well, maybe not. One commentary I came across, he's trying to be charitable, I guess. He's really saying is that the man might be talking about false religion, because false religions are described as women as well, of course. Yeah. But I'd like to expand what he's saying is that beautiful things can be misused. Isn't one of the most tragic things is, I think, is children with bombs trapped around them.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, that is beauty abuse, is it not?
Yes.
Right? And what he's getting is, I find the saddest thing is this beautiful thing that becomes a snare and a trap, and the devil will use that, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. Just because it's beautiful doesn't mean to say it's good. In essence, it can be good, but we need to watch out. Yeah? All the glitters It's not gold. Right. Okay, let's have a look at the next one. This is really good, this one. You'll like this. Oh dear. The next conclusion. Under the sun I put there. Men are bad, women are worse. Right, listen to this. I thought you'd like this. If you're getting your nose rubbed in it, are you? Right, yeah. Adding one thing to another, and to discover the scheme of things, while I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among a thousand, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God has made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. Well, there's one in a thousand, Adam, and this is there's the one at the bottom. That's one in a thousand. One in a thousand. Well, let me ask you this. I said it's under the sun. Perhaps a help to understanding Ecclesiastes and interpreting it is you have to use this principle. If it says something that's in complete contradiction to the rest of the Bible, then it's talking under the sun. Right? Yeah, it's how it seems. It's not what God says, right? So, because the Bible says there's plenty of good women around, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes, okay, you've got that point, right? So Ecclesiastes is saying, what is observed? There aren't many good women around. Why not?
Because he's not come across them.
He's not said so. Anything else? It's the culture. It's the culture. Think of the culture in which he's talking about, the Persian Empire. It's a man's world. The women don't get a chance. They're breeding machines. That's all they were. Right? So for them to make up their way in the world was pretty tough. Okay? So, that's what he's talking about. It's all under the sun, the way things appear. That's not God's view. Right. Who is the wise man? Let's have a look at chapter 8. Who is like the wise man who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. How about that? The benefit of wisdom. Right. Put a smile on your face. I thought I would. I was looking for wisdom to do that, you know. Put a smile on your face. There he is, in the middle of all the miseries. Right. Well, you know, I once heard someone say this, you know, some Christians, you think they've been baptised in vinegar. Well, I know life's not easy, and there are complications and problems, but where's this joy of the Lord they talk about? Yeah. Well, wisdom brightens a man's face and changes his hard appearance. You know, I've got the joy of the Lord. Yeah. And the joy of the Lord isn't just that being happy with a plastic smile, is it really? No, okay, so brighten the face. I like that little fellow. Very good. Well done. Okay, next one then. 8th chapter, verse 2. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since the king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Right? Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. Right? And the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. Right? So he says, the king knows what's going on. Right? Obey the king's command, and his word is supreme. Yes? You're under state control, is what he's saying. How about that? That's a picture from London somewhere. Big Brother is watching you. Do you know, there are more cameras nowadays than you ever were before. Well, obviously not the word before. They've all got your books, right, wherever it is. And he says, that's what's going on all around us. He says, but the wise man knows how the time is. He can figure out how to respond in the situation that he's in. Someone spoke of some man, said, you could never catch him off his guard, because he never needed to be on it.
Cool.
Isn't that interesting, yeah? If we're honest and not in people of integrity, well, the wise man knows how to cope. They can have all the photographs of me they like, because they won't catch me doing the wrong stuff. So, there you go, is what he's saying. Right. Okay, let's move on. All this I saw. Oh no, we've got one more bit. Verse 7 to 8. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it, and so no one has power over the day of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, So wickedness will not release those who practice it. And I focus on that last verse. He says, we're powerless, we don't know what's happening, we can't control things, right? He says, this wickedness will not release those who practice it. Did you know that? You know, habits form slowly, but once they're there, you can't break them. And they take over your life, yeah? And he's saying is that wickedness will not release those who practice it. How do you get out of it then? Well, I've given a reference to a parable by Jesus. He says, if the strong man guards his house, the only way to rob him is to go and tie him up, and then you can clean him out. Right? Jesus came to break the grip of the strong man in your life, because he's stronger than the strong man. We need a stronger man. And his name is? Are you sure now?
Yeah.
Right, good. Right, okay. Let's move on then. Verse 9. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. And then too I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and to go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This is meaningless too. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Well, there you go. He's saying is that I've seen the wicked, they have a state funeral. Everybody says, what wonderful people they are. Yeah? But when they've been buried, you know where they're going?
Yeah.
Ah, right. Story of Lazarus and the rich man. Yeah, Jesus told that. I don't think it was a parable. I think it was a story. The rich man who feasted everywhere and had everything going. Poor old Lazarus had the crumbs at the table and the dogs licked his sores. Lazarus died and was carried to heaven, he says, to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. What sort of funeral did they give him?
Oh man.
Everybody says what a great guy he was. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah? But Jesus shows us what happens after the funeral. Yeah. In hell, where he was in torment. Yeah. He sends a message. Go and send Lazarus. Yeah? No. Justice is coming. And actually, it's interesting this. He says it will go well with the godly, but it won't go well with the wicked. Well, it doesn't always quite work out like that, as we'll see in a moment. But long term, that's how it's going to be, because God is in charge. Right. Justice will be done. Believe me, justice will be done. But he says this, when sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. If they don't feel the pain now, right, then they don't change their ways. Isn't that the problem? We want instant gratification, right? But if there's instant retribution, well, that will teach us. But there isn't instant retribution often. God doesn't instantly clunk you for the things that people do, right? He gives you enough rope to hang yourself, right? He doesn't do it straight away. Yeah, he gives you a chance to repent, of course. Yeah, but he says when people don't instantly get the payback that they should get, they think they're getting away with it. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you sin against God, you are not going to get away with it. Huh? Now, that doesn't mean to say you lose your salvation, but the Lord can take you to the woodshed. Do you know what the woodshed's about? It was in the old days when the Southern American farmers had their children that weren't behaving themselves. Take them to the woodshed for a little discipline. Anyway, never mind. There you go. Right, okay. Did you get any discipline when you were young? Got the old stick, yes. That's what it's about, yeah. Right. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse, right? I'm talking about discipline, right? And he's talking about discipline. If they don't get disciplined, they're going to run amok. That's what's happening. But justice will prevail. Right. Let's move on, finally. Almost. There's something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve, and wicked men will get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. It's a topsy-turvy world. He says, look, well, you don't need him to tell you that. You've got eyes to see. Who's this boy here? Joseph Stalin. Nice guy. Yeah. Right, he's not the only one. There's been a lot more like him. Wicked, really wicked people. I'm sure his mummy loved him. Right, and the strange thing to say, even about wicked people like Stalin, is that they're made in the image of God. They are redeemable while they're alive. And some of them seem to have gone really way out, haven't they? Yeah? Anyway, Stalin, he did alright, didn't he? Right, did alright. Okay, and here we have this lady. Do you know her name? No, nameless one. Yeah, but there's a lot like her. The ones that should get the blessings, get the blast. Right. Well, it's a topsy-turvy world, he says. That's what it's like. Well, that's what, when you see those sorts of things, it ought to do something inside you. You don't say, that's how it is. Yeah. What you should say is, that's how it shouldn't be. Right? It shouldn't be like this. Right? And as Christians, we have a responsibility to do what we can to make the world right way up. Not that we can. Someone said, you know, it's interesting, he says, God sent me to catch fish, not to clean up the fish pond. Right? But we can do a bit of cleaning while we're at it, I'd suggest, yeah? But it's a topsy-turvy world. There are injustices. There are evil things that are around us. Well, don't be surprised. But, you know, what he says is this. So, I concluded. What did he conclude? It's the next picture. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be glad. And then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life God has given him under the sun. Enjoy it, right? Make the best of it. What a nice picture. Awesome. Now that you say it, chance would be a fine thing, wouldn't it? Yes. Make the best of it. Well, it's nice if you can, nice work if you can get it. Right? But, you know, even the humdrum, God can bless. There's a man in the Middle Ages called Brother Lawrence. You may not have read his literature, a little booklet he wrote. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. Right? And he was a skivvy in a monastery, basically. He was a monk, I think, but he was called to work in the kitchens, you know, slogging away in the kitchens. Do you know, but he discovered something. He says, do you know, I sense and feel and worship God, presence of God, more in the kitchen than I do in the chapel. He'd discovered how to invite God into the things that he was doing, the ordinary, the everyday. So you may be not on a beach, you may be doing the humdrum stuff, but make the best of it. And God will bless him. Praise his name. Last but not least, I think now. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labour on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what God does under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. Right, so this is his final conclusion. He's got me beat. I cannot suss it out. Well, have you got the message? Eh? You're not going to be in the control tower. Right? So don't think you are, and don't be worried, because you're not. Right? You can't figure it all out, and things will look totally crazy. Right? But you've got to live where you are, and you've got to live with wisdom where you are. And he says, he's got me beaten, and I've got some verses now from Deuteronomy. He's got me beaten because Deuteronomy 29:29, famous verse, which says, you don't know this one, do you? Come on! The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. Yeah? You got this? Can you say it with me? Yeah? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. He says, God's shown us some things that we're to get on with, but there are plenty of things that are secret, that belong to him. It's not letting off. Okay? The secret things belong to God, so don't be surprised if you don't get it all. And then Revelation 10:1-4 is an interesting story. It's where John has this vision of this mighty angel, and the angel speaks with a great voice, and he says, when he spoke, the seven thunders spoke. The seven thunders spoke, and he says, I was about to write down what they said, because he's writing down the revelation. I was about to write down what they said, and the voice said, don't write it down. That's not for general consumption. Didn't say those words, but that's what he's saying. John heard it, but nobody else could. Right, now then, the secret things belong to God, and sometimes he shows you secrets you can't share with others. Right? Okay, so, you know, you don't know it all. You just have to get used to the fact, right? You're not as smart as you'd like to be. Right, so last little bit. Conclusion number four. I've got another conclusion, which is my final conclusion. Yes, it's in all the wisdom books. In the Bible, there's a group of books, the wisdom literature books, and they are the ones in the middle of our Bible. There's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and we'd perhaps include Song of Songs, or that's a love song, really. But, okay, that wisdom literature, it has the same theme throughout. And basically the theme is, don't worry about the control tower, get on with living here and now. Right. So we've got some verses for you. Job, chapter 28, verse 20-28. Let's have a look at that. And see if you can pick up what the common theme in all of them is. Here we are, Job 28. Job 28 is a lovely chapter. It's about wisdom. It's a bit of a hiatus in the story of Job. We won't go into it now, but it's a lovely chapter to read. It's about gold mining and mining for treasure. And he says, you can go on dig and dig and dig and you can't find wisdom. Yeah? But, he says this, let me find the verse 20. Where does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say only a rumour of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it, and he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Right? So that's Job. Let's have a look at Psalm 111 verse 10. The next wisdom book. Psalm 111 verse 10. It says this. I've got it right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. You getting the message?
Yes.
Right, next one please. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And lastly, Ecclesiastes 12:13. We will get to this. Just to say, next week I will spare you Ecclesiastes. Uh-huh. Please do know. We will continue later, but with Ben and Kathy coming, we'll change it a little. But Ecclesiastes 12, his conclusion at the end of his message is this. In verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And what I'm saying Ecclesiastes is getting at is, it's in contrast to living under the sun. Keeping God out is not having the fear of God. He says, involve God in your life. Involve God in the choices and the decisions you make. Ask him for some wisdom about it. Yeah? Invite him in and share your joys with him. Right? The fear of God isn't about being scared in that sense. It's a respect and a reverence for God. So he says that's what we do. to grasp in all of what I've been trying to share with you this morning. Yeah? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you start trusting Him and start wanting to please Him, then you'd be surprised. You might get guided on the right Lord, or right thing, see? Okay, let's just pray, shall we? Loving Father God, we bless and praise your name. The Lord, while we live in a topsy-turvy world, while there is sadness, misery, while there's wickedness and evil, yet Lord, if you have eyes to see and a heart to trust, there are joys and blessings to be found. Emeralds and gold, Lord, fresh and jewels, Lord, precious treasures. And Lord, your word says, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Lord, He is the one we need. And so we just bless you, Father, that we can come to you. Lord, we're not so smart. We're not in the control tower. We can't understand it all. Help us simply to trust you. And Lord, when we get confused, to come back to you, to cry out to you, as we thought already this morning. Oh, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, we're in a big, bad world, but we've got a great, good God. And we thank you, Father, we can trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.